Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And yay, 52 years. I cannot believe it. It's the Santa Barbara's Writers Conference. And this is, as I say, the 52nd annual, 5 decades. And every year it's astounding. I look at the website and I cannot believe the quality and the many, many people that flock in. And I want to just introduce. We've got 3 speakers today to talk to us about the Writers Conference, but I want to just give people an overview because it's not too late to kind of jump on the train and see if you can get some, and there's some free talks going on as well, and we want to talk about that. So every night there's evening speakers, and those, I think, Grace, the evening speakers are open to the public. Is that right?
Correct. They're open to the public, and those events are free as well.
Okay, so, and the evening speakers feature people poetry reading, and the people that are reading are 2 Santa Barbara Poet Laureates, by the way. The opening night speaker is Fannie Flagg, the author of Fried Green Tomatoes, Academy Award nominee, etc. On Monday, we have Carrie Schlottman, the author of Tell Me Everything. On Tuesday, we have Jess Walker, Cold Millions, and Beautiful Ruins, author of, respectively. And then Wednesday, we have Rachel Howard Hall, member of the Mystery Writers of America, prolific writer. Thursday, we have Adriana Trigiani, and she is a Big Stone Gap? I can't read my writing. Anyway, a film and novelist, and the podcaster of a podcast that I love, which is You Are What You Read. And all these are open to the public. And you go for more information, the Santa Barbara Writers Conference website, special rates for those attending the conference, which is days long. You got to take a look. It's at the beautiful Hotel Marmonte. Special rates apply. And then already, Grace, I noticed that the pitch agent's appointment. So if you have 10 minutes and you want to say, oh, you know, how does this book sound to a real experienced person, an agent? You have 10 minutes to pitch the book. Those are almost filled, at least when I looked.
Yeah, every slot is filled now, 100%.
That's amazing, and it's great. There's 9 writing workshops each morning and each afternoon, respectively. Some of them cover new topics. Some of the topics that traditionally, fantasy, magical realism, romance, drama, children's writing, screenwriting, poetry. And I got to ask, when we actually launch into our speakers here today, what's the pirate category? That was kind of an amazing. 7 Deadly Sins of Novel Writing appealed to me. I really think that sounds like an interesting topic. And then some of the emeriti are coming. For example, Barnaby Conrad, his dad founded the conference. This is Barnaby Conrad III. And I have, Grace, one of my favorite books is Barnaby Conrad's The First Lines book. Mm-hmm. And here Barnaby Conrad III is going to talk about the first 4 pages. And that's just so appropriate, apropos to his dad. Marty Schulz is going to talk about voice and style. Nobody better. For voice and style, consultants are there. Consultants appointments for manuscripts, publishing, seminars on any kind of, you know, seminars, whatever seminar you want to look at as a writer, it's there. Consultants are there to talk with you. Panelists. There's panels on genre, agents panel, a policy panel, a publishing panel, a novel panel, an author's panel. All this is so interesting. And here again, 52 years. Now, I've got with us somebody that's been on the program, an attendee at the Santa Barbara's Writer Conference since 1992. Grace Rachow is here. Rachow. Say again.
Rachow.
And Grace is here. She's been the director since 2016. And she is just an amazing woman herself. Her bio goes on and on. And some of the things that she's talked about in the past with me, or the History of the Writers Conference, and some of the really interesting topics they've covered. Marianne Docherty is here. And did I say that right?
Docherty.
Docherty. Marianne Docherty is here. She's an award-winning journalist. She's a beauty editor. She's an author. And 2023, an amazing book called Dye, D-Y-E, with a celebrity colorist, Brad Johns. She's a two-time Golden Quill Award winner. And just the many, many books and articles, and she's been around doing amazing work. And the work that I think is so interesting is the fashion and beauty. And I think I'm going to talk with Marianne after the program. She and I need to get down to Los Angeles County Museum. They're opening the Designing Chinese Women, actually the exhibition. It's all about Chinese style, Asian style, and Asian beauty and Asian, you know, Asian.
I wrote a book called Asian Beauty years ago.
I know you did.
Yeah, so that ties right in.
I know you did. That's why I mentioned that. Are we gonna get in the van and go down and see that exhibition? I also have with us Matthew Palomary, and Matthew's resume just blew me out of the water. He studies shamanism, Richard, and after the show, Richard's going to corner you and talk to you about that. Matthew is at San Diego Book Awards. Land Without Evil was his award. Historical novel of first contact between shaman and Jesuits in the 18th century in South America. What an interesting topic. Another book, The Infinity Zone, Transcendent Approach to Peak Performance, specifically in tennis, for example. An expert in the discoveries and the craftsmanship of fantastic fiction, phantasmagoric fiction, a shamanic approach, for example. I think a super interesting and age-old angle to narrative storytelling, if I'm not mistaken. And these are our three speakers for today. And Richard, you did clock that, right? That we've got Matthew Palomary, who is a internationally famed author regarding shamanism. So we got to get you and Richard. Richard has a program called Tell Me Your Story, and he focuses on that kind of thing exactly here on KZSB. Yeah. So that's a double booking there for Matthew, I'm sure. Okay. So I guess I'd love to talk with Marianne about what she's going to talk about, what she's going to bring to the conference, her experience with the conference. I'm looking for juicy stories. I'm looking for one in the morning experiences, of which I know you've got a few. And Marianne, tell me about the conference. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to Santa Barbara? How many young authors and maybe new authors have you sponsored? Have you mentored? All of that. Go ahead.
Well, I started at this conference 2 years after Matt in 94. That was my first one. And I came back, even though I moved to New York City to be a publisher of magazines, I kept coming back to Santa Barbara every summer for this conference. I made lifelong friends here. It's a small conference in a way. It's not an elite kind of a thing. Everyone is welcome. You will make friends here if you join. Your life will be changed in 1 week at this conference. And I have been coming ever since. And I learned more about writing here years ago. One of the founding professors, if you want to call him that, of this conference is Sid Stiebel. He passed away about 4 years ago. Sid was Ray Bradbury's best friend. And Sid came every year, and I took his class, and I learned more from him about writing and what not to do. And it took me forever to finally got my first novel published a couple of years ago. It was called What We Remember. And Sid heard that. I read that in his private workshops, and he would have been proud of me, but by the time it finally got published, he wasn't here anymore. But I would tell anybody to come to this conference. The workshops alone, there's so many of them, and they're all so good. And there's just the companionship, the people you will meet. It's like a tribe. If you feel like you're in your town writing away, isolated, and you don't know anyone like you, you will come here and everybody, they get you. So you will go home and you'll feel like a different person. I've been finding writers to come. You know, we've been doing this five authors one a night for this conference. Instead of one keynote speaker, this conference has had five major authors come, and they speak one from Sunday through Thursday. And I've been putting this list together and really trying to build up my connections in the last 10 years to get people I really love. Now, one of them this year that's coming is Jess Walter. And he is famous. The book that put him on the map was called Beautiful Ruins. Oh my gosh, it was set in Italy back in the 50s when Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor came to Italy to film Cleopatra, I think. And it goes back and forth in time. Beautiful book. His latest book is phenomenal. Jess has been called, they said he is like, he captures the modern American moment. And a lot of his books are like that. This one is called So Far Gone. And it's really about, you know, he said he would just, during the pandemic, all he was just watching, you know, the news and all the divisiveness in politics. So he wrote this book, and it's funny and it's serious about two people that go in opposite directions. It's like, if you're going to be watching social media about what's going on with conspiracy theories, some people go down a rabbit hole one way, some find another way. This guy's one of the best writers ever. I've been trying to get him here for over 14 years, and it just never worked out with his schedule. Finally, he's coming, so he's major. Adriana Trigiani, you mentioned, she's going to close the conference Thursday. I'm so happy that we got her to come. She's major. As you mentioned, her podcast is wonderful. You Are What You Read. She's terrific. And I just listened to her interview with Fannie Flagg. She's interviewed her twice. So Fannie and her are good friends, old friends. So she's great. Her latest book is called The View from Lake Como. She writes a lot of books with Italian kind of themes, because she's Italian. She grew up in Appalachia. That's where she wrote Big Stone Gap. Excuse me. Anyway, Adriana is just inspiring. She loves writers. She'll help people. I'd encourage anybody in the public to come hear her speak, come down and have her sign a book, talk to her, exchange info. She's wonderful. Of course, everyone knows Fannie. She's like a national treasure and Santa Barbara treasure. And she'll be opening the conference, of course. And then she'll be introducing Adriana on Thursday, so you get to see Fannie twice. And Carrie Schlottman, nobody probably knows her right now. Carrie wrote a book called Tell Me One Thing. It came out a few years back. We had brought somebody to the conference about 4 years ago named Judith Turner Yamamoto. She wrote a book. I saw her online. I looked at the first two lines of her book. It was called Loving the Dead and Gone, set in North Carolina. And I read the first two sentences and that was it. I was hooked. She's such a great writer. And she, about a year or so ago, she texted me and said, you have to meet Carrie Schlottman. She had just interviewed her for a writing podcast. She goes, you're going to love her writing. So I bought that book. That was it. I couldn't stop reading it. It was so wonderful. Now she has a new book. It just came out in May called, this one is called Daytime Moon. And some of it is set up at the Salton Sea. It's really a book about the environment and what's going on in the world with what climate change does. But it's a literary novel. She is an amazing writer who encourages writers. So she's good to see. Wednesday, Rachel Housel Hall. Rachel is a best-selling author. I was up in Target about 3 months ago and I saw her newest book out on the end cap, and I texted her, look what I see up at Target. Her books sell millions of copies. Mystery and thriller was her genre originally, but she has gone into romanticy now. She said somebody who's famous in it asked her to write one, and she goes, she only wrote one, wasn't her interest, but she said, I just was challenged by that. And she has a second romanticy out there, Good Morning America, named one of their book, you know, their book club selections. So Rachel, she has a fascinating story about how she became published and all the hoops she had to jump through, what she went through. You know, she's going to be great to hear. These are all inspiring authors who write well, but they are filled with they just love writers and they love books and they love writing. And so they will inspire anybody who hears them. Even if you're a writer, or aspiring writer, you'll get something out of it. But if you're just somebody who loves to read, who loves books, you're going to see a whole other side of these people and you'll be transfixed. So I would suggest that anyone who can come to these evening speakers for free, this is a real opportunity for you.
And did you hear that? It's for free, everybody.
Yeah, free. That Grace started that this year, and I think it's a wonderful idea. So we want as many people from the public to come, because you can go down after they speak, you go down to the book signing and they'll take selfies with you. They'll talk to you. These people are gracious, warm. You'll get to meet some of the best authors in the country. But in this little conference, I love this conference because to me, it's like home. It's just a loving, warm community, a supportive community. Don't feel like if you come here, somebody's going to put you down or, you know, act like you're not good enough to be here. Everyone is welcome to this conference. And that's what I always loved about it. I mean, I've become a really good writer now, but it's talking becoming this conference for over 30 years. If you would have seen what I read when I first came here, it was like hilarious, you know. And I'll finish up with this. Sid had a thing where he would only let you read the first chapter of a book or the first chapter of like a memoir or something, but you weren't allowed to, you just had to read it. And all that the attendees could do is tell you what they heard. Like, what did they think the book's about? Because he said authors mislead people all the time. They write stuff and they don't realize that the person reading it is going to think the book's about one thing. And you're the author is not going to be at the bookstore looking over your shoulder going, no, wait, that isn't what it's about. You better be clear from page one. And that's what I learned from him. But he had a rule. You could read until something happened or it became painfully obvious that nothing was ever going to happen. And so I read the first chapter from my great literary novel. And after I almost got to the end and he goes, all right, when is this character going to do something? And I said, oh, in chapter three. And he goes, then that's where the book starts. And I laughed now that I argued with Sid. Don't argue with me. He knew what he was doing. I went to my room and I thought, okay, I can either go home and read this to my mother and she'll tell me how wonderful it is, or I can stay here and learn something. And I stayed and I went to his class every day and it made me a better writer. And this is a great conference for that. So don't be afraid of a writer's conference. This isn't an elite kind of a conference. Everyone is welcome and will be welcomed right into our family.
So Marianne, I want to just stress two things that stuck with me, what you said. Number one is that you said that Sid taught you that there has to be some action going on at a certain point, otherwise forget it. And the second thing you said was he made you read the first, say, four pages of any book and then would say to the class, now, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think should happen, et cetera? And that your premise that you just stated was that many authors deceive the reader and deceive themselves as well, because what's going to happen to whoever or in the book is not easily recognizable, but should be. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's the truth. And I will tell you where this went into practice. About 4 years or so ago, I had this book I was trying to sell, that What We Remember. And because I had met some wonderful writers at this conference that I brought here, they told their agents to read the first 50 pages of my novel. Okay, the way I set the novel up, it's about four people who meet by chance. They all move to this little town in the 70s, become friends. It goes all through their lives, into their children's lives. It goes all the way from the 70s up to 2015. Okay, so the way I started it, this Sid would have filmed it, is I did one chapter on each woman in 1968, like where were they and how did, and that same, in chapter five, you finally meet them when they all meet up as mothers and wives. I wasted the capital I got being able to contact really good agents, and I sent those 50 pages out. And I would have never known what I was doing wrong, except that these agents felt compelled to write more than a blanket, sorry, you're not for us, because, you know, their authors asked them to listen to me. And so I got really good feedback, and most of them said, this sounds like a novel about four women who get divorced in the 70s. And I said, no, that's not what it's about. So it's like, I'm thinking, no, that isn't what it's about at all. It's about grief, losing two of them, lose children. And it's this whole journey on what happened to them and their friendship that survives and what that these deaths do to everybody. Anyway, but that was helpful to me. So what I did is I restructured the whole book and started it more in the middle where an accident happens in the future. And I made the book nonlinear, but it started with something that's compelling. One of a car accident. That is a good, now this book is good, but if I had not had that feedback, I would have had no idea. So writers need to know when they do their first chapter, that's more crucial than anything, because you better know from page one, what is this book going to be about? Is it going to be funny? Is it going to be sad? Is it going to be literary, serious? What is it? And what is at stake? Why do I want to read this? You don't get another chance. Somebody's in the bookstore, they're looking through the first couple pages, or they go on Amazon, they read the first couple pages. They, if you don't hook them, so your first sentence is important. And I have really honed that. And I have a new book that I'm actually rewriting it to send it out. But I will tell you the first sentence and then I'll stop and you can tell me if you're compelled to read it. So I
love
think it. It says it's written in first person by a woman who's an art director in New York in a magazine. Okay, she says, being downsized is a lot like being dumped. The only difference is I'm not in love with my group publisher, Lester Davenport. So she will get fired in chapter one, and then you'll find out she was dumped too. And how is she gonna? She's 60 years old. She has to face trying to find a job now at that age. It starts in 2011 because print was going up. But you'll find I gave her a great ending, and it's funny and it, but it's serious. And but I had to work really hard to make sure that first page, I told you what you were going to read, so I don't have the problem again of having people think the book's about something it isn't. So
I think it's a fantastic sort of explanation, observation, example. And now I get it. I understand. It's so interesting that you said that. I've been on a Margaret Atwood spree. I've read almost everything she's ever written in the last 2 months or so, because I just got hooked, yeah, you know, when I was a kid. And then it was like, okay. And then I came back to it. It's like, what makes that these books that she's written stay with me? And, you know, what is the staying power here? And I started to look at it, you know, with a 60-year-old analytical mind saying, well, I've been through that. I've been through that. And, you know, I wanted to ask Matthew about something that it, because of what Matthew writes about in his background, et cetera, is that so many of the, phasmatorical fantasy, you know, Atwood style, this sort of thing where there's other dimensions to life, to being, to the world, to the environment, many of, you know, levels of degrees of the blah, 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 blah. There's narrative complexity in everything, in the tiniest little plant and animal. So, Matthew, are you there still?
Yes. Can you hear me okay? I still can't get video.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. So, Matthew, I mean, Richard wants to know too, I'm sure. So, I want you to talk about this. The way that you, and of course you were billed by Grace as the historian for the Writers Conference. So I want you to explain to us, how do you wind a fantasy world that isn't so much a fantasy together with, you know, a solid narrative plot? How do you do that? Why I'm asking you this is because I think I've 20 of Atwood's books and poetry books. I'm on like 21 or 22. And this has all been in the last couple of maybe 6 months or so. I'm devouring again, you know, her opus. And I can't figure out how she works almost a supernatural. So I'll give you an example. I'm reading Oryx and Crate, that I'm reading part of her trilogy. And I haven't read that in a while. It was written in 2004, and she's talking about a bio-induced pandemic that sweeps the entire world. And this is, you know, she's writing this in 2004. It's not till 2019 that this, what she's writing about, actually, believe it or not, in different way, but happens. And I'm wondering, so many of it, so borderline fantasy, science fiction, but, you know, romance plot, etc. How do you guys that write about the past merging with the future get it so right?
Well, in the end, it's all about research, for starters, and knowing your subject.
I didn't expect that. Okay.
Oh, no, especially with science fiction. I've spoken in science fiction conventions for over 20 years, and some of those PhDs really know their stuff. So for the record, I started with the conference in 1988. In 1989, I got asked unofficially, it was sanctioned by the conference, but unofficially I got asked to teach a horror, fantasy, and science fiction workshop and it was a big hit. So they asked me to come on board the next year as an official teacher, and I was the youngest workshop leader for 15 years. I'm not so young anymore, as you can tell by my picture. In fact, a lot of my students are now teaching with me, which is a great honor. So one of the things, the most important thing, both these genres and with shamanism overall, is point of view and perspective. So, you know, in our Western culture, we separate waking and dreaming and visionary and hallucinogenic states. We separate all those. In shamanism, particularly in South America, although I would say worldwide, there's no separation. It's all a continuum. So, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit I'm an aficionado of altered states of consciousness. I've been going in this coming October. I love that. Thank you, Doc. he's clapping for me. I'm going down to the jungle in October for my 15th 10-day intense shamanic plant diet. And you learn to navigate shamanism. You learn to navigate altered states, different realities. So one of the keys in writing fiction, regardless of the genre, is learning to transition from one to the other. To go from a dreaming state to a waking state, to a visionary state, to a hallucinogenic state. Now, a lot of writers, great fiction writers, they don't specialize in this kind of a thing. They're more sort of everyday life, legal thrillers, mysteries, all those kind of things. But in this case, with any kind of altered states of consciousness, and by the way, even getting up in the morning and having a cup of coffee, you're in an altered state. So moving fluidly and believably through these different states of consciousness through transitions and doing it properly is the way to make it believable. And I just say really quick, I think you got a question there.
I want to get this right. Sure. That you've got altered space. So if you said it's separation of things, and yeah. I thought, okay, so I'm going to write this down. What things? Okay. Altered space. Yeah, altered consciousness, different spaces, different realities, different states, and different you didn't say modalities, but I'd say that. Is this more, okay, so this is, you know, this is a word thing, but when I think about what you're talking about, this altered consciousness, I think about it visually.
Yeah.
Not necessarily orally or narratively in the written word. So how do you convey the visual altered state?
It's visual and it's auditory, and the blurring lines between what is actually reality are in fact blurred. When you can be in a dreaming state and you can be flying on a pink horse with orange polka dots. And in that moment, when you're in that dream, you're convinced of the reality of it. You're not even questioning it. You're flying the horse. You're doing whatever you're doing. So the key to all these fantastic genres, among other things, is world building.
Okay. There's my answer. Okay. There's what I was looking for. Okay. World building. Okay. And another question. So you mentioned that, you know that when you're dreaming, it that's your reality, except I'm going through a sort of a serious illness at the moment, and I haven't been able to walk for a while, which is really sad for an ex-dancer. But the issue is I don't sleep so well. And the weird thing is, since I've been ill, the dreams I have, I know they're not real. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not really dreaming, but I am dreaming. But I have a consciousness. Well, this is a dream, Elizabeth. Secondly, I was so intrigued to talk to you because there was so when I was 5, I fell off a bike and I was in a coma for 3 months. Mm. And so I have a strange, like I call it an entry point in the back of my head, mm-hmm. you know, that's been going on in my life all my life, where I can easily cross over that border, but it's only I can cross that border visually. I'm not so good at crossing it over with words. But I can cross over that border visually. I guess it makes me a good appraiser of art, but mm-hmm. I can cross that border easily. And Richard's giving us that sign. We got to go to break. This is part, okay, Dear listener, this is part of what you're going to get, except even much better, much, much better than my dumb questions, because we're just talking about this fantastic 52nd year annual 5-decade Santa Barbara's Writers Conference. And we're talking with a few of the movers and shakers, and Grace is going to weigh in a few minutes too. She's been the director there since 2016, if I'm not wrong. And I want to just say that there's still availability. And then we talked a little bit with Mary Ann that she's organized some of the national top rate, if not international top rated authors to come and speak. And did you hear her say free? In the evenings, go to the website. In the evenings, you'll see all the speakers. There's 5 of them every evening. That's free to the public at the beautiful Marmonte Hotel here in Santa Barbara. And she's talking also, and also is Matthew, talking about the receivable, understandable, accepting, empathetic, compassionate people that come, both extremely gifted and extremely accomplished and you know, top tier. And, you know, your person, I think I read about it, Race, on your website, little girl comes with a scholarship from City College and actually has 20 bestsellers to her credit now. Because, I mean, how does that happen if you're not accepting and anxious to teach and anxious to? That's a marvelous testimony. Richard, let's go to a quick break. Hey, do you have a question for Matthew, by the way?
Well, just share with a story I wrote, and I actually just found them as I'm going through file cabinets, of a fiction / science fiction story I wrote in high school, very short, that also had in it, although I didn't know it at the time, a karmic aspect to it. And I only got that when I was rereading it just the other day. And I'm 66, and I wrote that thing back when I was 16 years old. So we're talking 40 years ago. And because as he was talking about the transitions back and forth, and then I was also thinking about that one movie with Leo DiCaprio, with Dreams Within Dreams Within Dreams Within
Oh,
Dreams.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was incredible. Anyway, let's go ahead and take that break, Elizabeth, if you will take us out.
Okay, so wonderful. So let's take a break. We get back from the break. We want to talk a little bit about Grace, about the kind of new stuff that's happening this year in the 52nd annual Santa Barbara Writers Conference. What an institution. I'm so honored to be able to bring this to Santa Barbara in general and say, come on, guys, it's a free event in the evenings, although you can buy tickets and stay at the Marmonte and hobnob till 1 or 2 in the morning with some of the great writers of the nation. So real opportunity here in our own backyard. Richard, let's go to quick break.